Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for May 7th, 2023 is based on John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Spiritual GPS. An introduction to our reading from John. On the night that he is to be arrested, Jesus shares final words with his disciples. As the one through whom God is known, he promises to go before them and act on their behalf. A reading from John. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. In just a couple of months, this July, 18 teens and adults from our congregation are heading to Magoffin County in eastern Kentucky to help make the homes of people in need drier, safer, and warmer. We're partnering with an organization called Appalachian Service Project, or ASP, which each year organizes over 15,000 volunteers to help make a difference in the lives and in the homes of over 350 families in need. I went on my first trip with ASP in the summer of 2019 with the congregation in which I was serving my seminary internship. And as part of my internship, they would give me little projects, and this was one of my projects. I had to organize all the volunteers, and I had to collect payments and do fundraisers, and then collect everyone's paperwork, and line up vehicles for the trip, create itineraries, and anything else that was needed to our trip to Hazard, Kentucky. I had spreadsheet upon spreadsheet of details all figured out. I had copies of everyone's emergency information in a file in my Google Drive that was on my phone so that I always had access to the most important information in case of an emergency. I was sure that this trip was going to go off without a hitch, because I had gone above and beyond with all the preparation and all the pre-work. Once we got there, we split up our volunteers into four different work crews that were working at three different sites. And my role as the trip coordinator was to support those three groups in whatever they needed. That meant I may have to travel from the work site back to the school that we were staying at to pick something up. Maybe it's more tools or more materials, and take them back to the work site. I might have to go and collect a water cooler that was empty from a work site and refill it back at the school and bring it back to the work site again. And I was totally prepared for this facilitator job. I had all the phone numbers of all of our adult leaders in my phone, ready to go, sorted by what site they were at. I had the addresses for the three work sites, and I had my cell phone all charged up so that I could use my Google Maps app to get me from place to place. Well, my first call came into me while I was sitting at the school, and one of the groups needed a miter saw, or a chop saw, you may have used before. I typed the address to that first worksite into my GPS, and I was on my way. It was only supposed to take me about 10 minutes to get to the site. You probably see where this is going, right? But after driving for about 10 minutes and realizing that my GPS had never yet told me to turn, I was a little worried. So I pulled over and looked at the GPS, and I had no cellular connection. It showed me where I was going when I was at the school and on their Wi-Fi, but when I drove away into the hills of Kentucky, I lost all connection. So here I was, somewhere in the hills of Kentucky, trying to get to a location that I had never been to before, and I didn't really know where I was, and I certainly didn't know where I was going. I was lost. And I mean really lost, with no street signs or signs of inhabitation anywhere. Even though I thought I was totally prepared, I suddenly found myself not knowing where I was going and not knowing the way to get there. Have you ever been really, really lost? It can be a panic-inducing moment. I'm sure that the disciples in our reading from John are starting to panic a little bit, because Jesus tells them that he's leaving them and going away from them to the Father. And so immediately my thought is they begin to panic a little bit and think, well, where is the Father? We want to go there too. And how are we supposed to find our way to the Father if you're not there to lead us to the Father? They love Jesus. They want to be with Jesus. So it makes sense that they want to know how to get to the place where he is going. They are focused on the destination of where Jesus is going, the Father. But Jesus refocuses them a little bit. He tries to get them to understand that they should be less focused on the destination and more focused on the journey, the way. I can't blame the disciples for their questions or their line of thinking. We all end up falling prey to the same desire for knowledge about life eternal, don't we? At times, don't we get caught up with what heaven might look like when we get there? Or where heaven is exactly? Or when or how we actually get there? Just do a quick Google search when you get home today for books about heaven. You will be blown away at the amount of people who think they have it all figured out. I think we become so focused on heaven because there are times where we fear the unknown of what comes after this earthly life. Maybe we think about heaven because our life right now is so difficult that we just want hope of something better to come. Or maybe it's because we miss our loved ones and we just want to be where they are. There can be any number of reasons that we get so focused on the destination of heaven. And don't get me wrong, it's not a bad thing to speculate about the concept of a life eternal in a different place and what exactly it will look like, because often that brings us hope, which is a good thing that leads us forward each day. But when we get so focused on heaven as a place or a destination to arrive to, we forget that Jesus announces to us all throughout his ministry that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is here now. It's not an easy thing for our brains to wrap around that concept. What does that mean that heaven is here now? Especially when we look around and we see all of the death and destruction that is going on all around us. Jesus' words teach us that heaven is not so much about a place, but more about a relationship. It is in our relationship with the divine, with God, that we begin to experience heaven. It won't matter, per se, if there is a large mansion in heaven with multiple rooms and streets lined with gold, because we'll be united with God, encapsulated by pure love and grace, and all of those worldly comforts or things that we desire here will melt away there. Isn't that what we truly want? In the end, more than some eternal country club in the sky, we want to be in the perfect presence of God, the source of all life and love, where there will be no more tears. We want to be made new in the image of God. And so Jesus says, hey guys, guess what? You can experience a bit of that heaven here and now. If you want to be in the presence of God, he says, I am here. The Father, the one you want to be in relationship with, is in me and I am in him. If you want to experience the divine, follow me. He says, I am the way. And interestingly enough, the early Jesus followers actually called themselves the Way, long before the moniker of Christian was ever forced upon them. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we follow Jesus's way as kind of like our spiritual GPS, we find ourselves arriving at truth and life. We find ourselves in relationship with God. As we seek to deepen that relationship, we become closer to God, closer to heaven. For the most part, even in this early part of my pastoral career, I've kind of given up on theorizing what heaven as a place will look like, because I have no control over it. Instead, I hope we focus on living and loving like Jesus right now and experience heaven in our lives today, holding on to the promise that we know there will be a place for us in the presence of God after this life. God, who loves us unconditionally, came to us in Jesus to say, I am with you here and now. I will show you the way to heaven, and it's closer than you think. You're in the midst of it now, and it will become clearer and clearer to you as you follow me. I believe Jesus is telling us not to focus so much on heaven being a destination, and more about experiencing a full relationship of God now, whenever and wherever and however that enters into our lives. God desires for all people to experience the fullness of God's love here and now, and He uses each of us and our loving actions for our neighbor to make that happen. So I encourage you this day and in this week to seek heaven. Be on the lookout for how you see God at work in the world, and where you get that glimpse of heaven in your life, being in the presence of God. Because it might be closer than you think. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.